This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 8, 2020. The Second Sunday of Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
O God, thou hast been angry, but restore us. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the considerations that I made prayerfully about going through the Psalter this liturgical year was the necessity of us understanding who God is. Every time we come to Mass, every time we read Scripture, every time we pray, we should get a little bit more understanding as to who God is, how He works, what He does. We live in a time when you would think Jesus Christ was a teddy bear. He is just something comfortable for us. He is grace and mercy, period. This sounds nice, but it's not true. The Psalter reveals God to us because the Psalms are a unique way in God, way He reveals Himself, because they are prayers. The Psalms are prayers that the Holy Spirit has given us, and prayer is a dialogue between man and God. The Scriptures are Him speaking to us and us speaking to Him. We have to appreciate the fact that God presents Himself in a way to us in Scripture. It is the way He truly is, not some idol that we've made up in our own mind. This is what we have to appreciate about the Psalter. Here's an objective manifestation of what I say about people having a misunderstanding. They put a billboard up on I-4, God is not angry. Oh, that sounds nice on a billboard, but the Scriptures say, O God, thou hast been angry, O restore us. So that lends itself to an end of the debate as to whether God gets angry or not. If we are going to use anthropomorphic or terms that we understand about God, God, for one thing, is, as we call in theology, impassible. He doesn't have emotions. He is not bound like we are to fly off the handle or just get syrupy in love with something like that. It's not how He works. The way He communicates and the why He communicates that way is so we can understand Him and our frailty, because we're limited in the way we can understand things, so He uses words we can understand. He gets angry. What is anger? It is a reaction to things when they are what they ought not be. And God does indeed react when things aren't what they ought to be. God gets angry, to use our terms. That's Old Testament stuff. Well, the last time I read the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the personification of grace and mercy, walked in His Father's house, and there were money changers in there, and He doesn't say a word. He goes and forms a whip and then says, this is my Father's house. It is a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. And He uses that whip to drive them out of the temple. That would be enough. But then He goes back and kicks over their tables and their chairs. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sinless. So in no way that could be a sin. So anger is a sin. There is a tremendous difference between anger and righteous indignation and its motivation. What was the motive for the reaction? Generally, we get angry, and it is sinful. Because why do we get angry? He said this to me. She did this to me. They didn't do this for me. I'm offended. Okay, that's why we get angry, and it's sinful. Because we pridefully disdain when people don't do what we want or what we think is correct. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not do what He did because someone offended Him. They nailed him to the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it wasn't like Jesus took it personal when people did things to him. He did what he did because it went as an affront to the Father. It was a denigration of the house of God. That's why he reacted the way. That's why it's not sinful. Yeah? If I formed a whip and drove people out of somewhere where I thought they were doing wrong and then kicked over their tables, I'd probably be on a flight to Houston within a few hours. Okay? It has to do with motive. You know, it has to do with motive. We have to approach these things in an understanding of this is who God is. What our Lord did was chastise those. He disciplined them. Is he not our Father who art in heaven? He is our Father. He is the perfect Father. We might have had some really good ones here, but he's better. All right? And most of your fathers here would chastise you and discipline you if it was necessary. And it is always necessary for children. God would never be angry. He would never be. If he didn't chastise and discipline us, he wouldn't love us. Because if a father or a mother does not chastise or discipline their children, they don't love them. What are you talking about? The most doting of new mothers will slap her child's hand if he sticks a fork in a light socket. Okay? Or if he opens the cabinet where all the poisons are. All right? She's going to give him a swat. Why? Because you can't tell it to your... You wouldn't believe what's in there. It could kill you if you drink it. It's made up of this and that. Right? Swat him on the butt. All right? It keeps him from doing the... What does it do? It helps them. It protects them. It is because you love them that you do that. Think of it. That's ridiculous to think that. What would a mother... Oh, he's in that poison again. He loves the colors of those bottles. I got to let him go because I just love him to death. And he just loves those bottles. That's a really sick thing because you know what's really sorry about that? Because a mother who would protect her child like that in that scenario with all her being, mothers of adult children who are playing with spiritual poison, they not only don't correct them for it, they let them go. Oh, they're doing this because they love one another. I gotta let that go. That's the pretty colored bottles. It looks nice, but it's deadly. You gotta correct people. That's our call in life as parents. Our Lord is going to do it perfectly. He does chastise us. He does discipline us. Okay? Why do fathers in this world chastise us? That virtue may increase. That we may become better people. That's what our Lord wants from us. And what are chastisements? They're warnings. Don't put the fork in the light socket. Don't mess with the poison. We don't do that. I've warned you, don't do that. And the punishments will increase. God works the same way. That's why Jesus uses that whole Our Father who art in heaven, because most of us understand how fathers and mothers work. He's the perfect parent. Thou hast set up a warning for those who fear thee. We've got to acknowledge the fact that there were... Can you imagine a child that didn't acknowledge that their parent corrected them? Most of you who have kids, you know, can probably think of scenarios where they tried to push that issue. I'm not going to acknowledge your punishment. Well, we'll see about that. All right, you fix that in short order. Our Lord is the same way. He will fix it in short order. We have to acknowledge the warnings. Because in this life, there are just some things that are for our betterment when things are uncomfortable. Let's get away from the father analogy. Doctors. There are actually doctors in here right now. I love them to death. I don't like going to their offices. I'll talk to them for hours in here. I'm not a doctor fan. Okay? Most people aren't. Why does your blood pressure get higher when you go to the doctor's office than it is when you leave? Because generally, a trip to the doctor's office, there's always that little pressure. What is that? This little pressure. You're going to feel a little pressure. It hurts. You're really in for the e-ticket ride when you say, this is going to hurt. Sometimes things are uncomfortable to make us better or to make sure we stay well. You take your kids to the doctor to get shots. I've been to the hospital more times than most because of my past. I've only been wheeled into the hospital twice that I can remember, but I've been there a whole lot more times than that. Generally, I walk in under my own power and I feel fine, and they wheel me out. Thanks, Doc, for making me better. Yeah? Been a few months, sometimes, a few months. I appreciate the fact that I was wheeled out because things are better than they were when I walked in and I thought everything was okay. We put ourselves through that in order to get better. Our Lord, who is, check it out, this is why he uses illustrations like this, the good physician, okay, is because he will do things occasionally to make us better, to make us well, to heal us, that are not particularly pleasant. Discipline, chastisements, just things. They're for our betterment. Grant us help, O Lord. That's how he helps us. The whole child of God thing, well, I'm a child of God. Yeah, you are. And he's going to act like a parent. And you're a child. All right? So don't just get all huffy about being a child of God like that makes you so special. All right? And understand that he is, as a parent, going and should act like a parent. And part of that is medicine, one way or another. We get it. We all do. But because it's an answer to prayer, oh, grant us help, oh Lord. That's how we help. That's how he helps. That's how parents in this world help their children. They help them to not hurt themselves by giving them a swat or spanking them on the hand. All right? This is a necessity. Timeouts, all right? Whatever works, you do something that nurtures that child in virtue. Because we ask God to help them because we want restoration. Now, why does a parent chastise or discipline a child? Because you like it? No, no parent likes that. No parent likes it, but you do it for their own good. You restore them. You're trying to restore them into acting accordingly. Restoration's got to come from God, ultimately. Even if you're a parent in this world, you should discipline your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Not only teaching them the fear and admonition of the Lord, but you should discipline them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, if you don't do it, you don't fear the Lord. Because we have to understand that this is the way we work. Why shouldn't he work that way? Because he's God and he's merciful and gracious. Yes, he is. That's why he does what he does. We've got to appreciate it because we're strengthened through that. The last verse in this song, with God we shall do valiantly. We shall be strengthened when he does these things. And you know, the sad thing about it is we've got to understand this about God also, is let's not be selfish. If something bad happens that you perceive as bad in your family or with one of your friends or something like that, you have to understand, oh, I'm dealing with this because God's punishing me for something. Maybe he's punishing the other person for something. All right? Now, you have to bear the consequences because you're around and you have to watch it and you have to deal with it in one way, shape, or form. But like I said, let's not get selfish about this. But God's discipline is, he's going to do it for each and every individual, whether they even like him or not, whether they consider him or not, it's going to happen because he is a merciful and gracious God and he tries and tries and tries to get people to repent. That's why a parent chastises, they want repentance. They want them not to do that again. They want them to be sorry. And if they're not sorry and of themselves, will make them sorry or should make them sorry for what they have done. We've got to appreciate that. And we have to embrace it because it is a demonstration of his love for us because it strengthened us. You know, there are some things about God that, look at the transfiguration today. Oh, that would have been so awesome to see Jesus manifest himself as God for a couple moments in this world. Would have been awesome, huh? Well, there were three guys that were watching it, and they put their face in the dirt. It wouldn't even look up. They were terrified. That's the reaction when sinfulness is confronted with holiness. These guys put their face in the dirt, and they didn't raise it up until our Lord said, "Fear not." And then they look up. Well, thank goodness Elijah and Moses aren't there anymore. That would have been too much. It's just Jesus. Dealing with God is a scary thing. We got to appreciate that. Okay? When you dealt with your parents, yeah, I can remember being on my way home sometimes. Ooh, he said be home at 10. Darn, it's 12:30. That was a long ride home. All right? Why? Because I feared what was going to happen when I walked in there. Well, I hope he's asleep. Yeah, fat chance. That's the way it works. That trip home is like probably worse than actual punishment that you got for the whole offense. You know, and there was other times when the punishment is put in abeyance. I used to mess up occasionally, like at 9 o'clock in the morning, and my mom said, "Wait till your father gets home. He just left for work. They don't worry about it. Why don't you take care of it? They don't worry about it all day." God does that to us. There are sins that we commit 10, 20, 15, how many ever years ago, and it's like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, "You know, I know you confessed it and everything. You know how bad that was? If you have a confessional, it was like 30 years ago, but the Holy Spirit, that's wait till your father gets home. That's, hey, you know what? It's a chastisement. It's a discipline. Well, that was a long time ago. He wants you to make sure that you remember it because you did it one time. You could do it again. And he wants you to know how horrible it is, particularly now that you're closer to him. Look how bad you offended me back in those days. That's why he does what he does. He wants to keep us in line. He wants us to understand him. You know, He is the chastiser. He is the disciplinarian. But the disciplinarian also provides a reward. You ground your child for 2 or 3 weeks for this, that, or the other thing. Oh, that's a doozy. 3 weeks, you're done. You know, if the kid actually shows repentance and, you know, a heartfelt, so much as we can perceive, you know, understanding of what they did wrong, about a week and a half, 2 weeks into the 3 weeks, all right. But I want you to remember that, you know, so you reward them. Just like he will discipline us, he will also reward us. You know, these warnings are good for us. Why is it that we shun this whole idea that he may chastise us, that he may warn us? He would be a pathetic father if he didn't. He would not love us. Yeah, that verse in the Psalm, "Thou hast given us warning." You've given us warning that we may flee from the punishments. Thy beloved may be delivered. He's delivered us. We have this tendency to keep messing up, just like our kids. You're a child of God. You're going to keep messing up. Pay attention to the chastisements. Pray that they just be subtle. Run to the confessional. That's where you demonstrate that contrition, where, you know, I was going to give you up. You were going to be grounded for 3 weeks, but go to the confessional. You're really contrite and everything. We're good. We got to take our medicine. That's who he is. It is because he loves us. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.